This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Layla Mutin is our nutritionist in residence, and she's here to help you field questions that can be sent to radioprogram@AOL.com. Hi, Layla. How are you?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Good, good. Gearing up for the Christmas holidays, but we keep on trucking.
Yes.
Providing information during the brief hiatus that you may have between parties and shopping and wrapping gifts and you know, all the frenetic activities that occur during the season. Yes. You can hopefully gain some helpful information and help yourself and your family members towards better health by listening to our weekly Q&A with Layla. All right. So before we get to questions, I recently delivered, I was tasked with delivering the introduction to a couple of lectures on pain treatment. And what I wanted to do was give a basic survey of the pain issue from the standpoint of integrative medicine. So, you know, obviously, you know, we got a problem because the way we deal with pain hasn't panned out too well. You know, we've got an opioid epidemic. We got people hooked on powerful medications, tens of thousands of people overdosing. It's thought to be responsible in part for the decline in longevity that Americans have. Is that so many Americans are suffering from pain or psychic pain, which is the two are almost indistinguishable, and they're either accidentally or on purpose often themselves with opioids. So big problem. And then of course there's, you know, people who are not on you know, prescription painkillers. They just have daily chronic pain. So what do? They go to the drugstore. By the way, have you noticed that there's a drugstore on every corner here in Manhattan?
Yes.
Is every time a space opens up, it becomes a drugstore.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I saw a space open up and I said, boy, I really hope it's going to be like a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods. And instead, it's like another drugstore. But there's like 14 other drugstores within like three blocks of it. And yet there's, and I, you know why? Because it's so profitable. It's like you go for an ordinary prescription and, you know, something simple. And you, it's like, you know, $300 copay for, you know, at best.
Copay.
You know, so it's very expensive. So anyway, so people go to the drugstore and they get themselves the major painkillers, Tylenol on the one hand, or they get Advil, ibuprofen, you know, Aleve, Naprosyn.
Yes.
So these medications have consequences. They send, I mean, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs send people to the emergency room with bleeding ulcers.
That happened to a friend of mine.
Requiring blood transfusions, and you know, it's the big deal.
Very scary.
But short of that, they can damage the kidneys. They can increase the risk of cardiovascular events because they actually thicken the blood. Paradoxically, as you know, while they cause bleeding in the gut, they may interrupt the ease of clotting elsewhere in the body. And then, of course, you got the Tylenol. The Tylenol, major side effect is liver, but then pregnant women take them and the kids are more likely to have intellectual deficits or autism. Also, there's something about Tylenol changing your empathy.
Your empathy?
You have less empathy when you're on Tylenol. So maybe that explains what the maybe that's what's happening in Congress. Everybody's taking Tylenol.
Probably.
Who knows what they're on? You know,
give them some opioids.
Something's got to explain that. I mean, you know. We're not succeeding quest to treat pain. And in fact,
it's a tough nut to crack.
The VA, the Veterans Administration, is looking at more natural means of dealing with pain, you know, such as exercise and yoga and diet and
even
medical marijuana, although it's so controversial, that they're starting to move in that direction. So, you know, I did a little research on this, and there is there's a nutritional concomitant to pain. When you're on a pro-inflammatory diet, what's a pro-inflammatory diet? You really don't like somebody. So I send somebody to you.
I
want you to be inflamed. I'm going
to
give you. I gave you the diet backwards.
Yeah. I want you to eat French fries and pizza and drink a lot of booze and have a lot of sugary desserts.
I like this nutritionist.
Oh, yeah.
You could have a big clientele here.
Those vegetarian diet.
We'll call you the party hardy nutritionist.
Pizza and French fries and desserts and booze.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, but add some smoking, cigarettes.
Okay, sure.
Add that. Sure.
Pro-inflammatory.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
All kinds of fried stuff, like the French fries because of the pro-inflammatory vegetable oils.
Right.
Very starchy.
The omega-6s.
Very AGE.
Right.
Anacrylamide as well.
Right, right.
So you're ticking all the boxes for inflammation.
And then the glycemic index, which promotes metabolic syndrome, and there's a pro-inflammatory drive.
In fact, don't eat a good fatty ice cream, like a really well-known brand like Häagen-Dazs, which is fattier, lower on the glycemic index. Get the really sugary ice cream and you'll age faster because there's more sugar to fat content.
How about the fat-free ice cream?
Oh, best.
That would be
best of all. Drink skim milk too.
Wait. Because we're going to get sued.
I know we're going to get sued.
Disclaimer, we're talking about the opposite of the right diet
for
pain. Okay. Exactly. So obviously there is the anti-inflammatory diet would be rich in, it's kind of like the Mediterranean diet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or paleo diet, possibly.
Good quality proteins, whole foods, produce, fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh or frozen, as long as they're organic and they're clean, all of that. A good amount of pro and prebiotic foods. No vegetable oils, good animal.
Wait a minute, you should have given this lecture. You're doing a better job than me.
Oh, okay, all right. Next lecture, I'll give it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And
getting all sugar out of your life.
Now, here's a couple of interesting factoids. Mm. Lady Gaga, racked with pain. I mean, you ever see her perform, she gets a lot of injuries. She's fallen down and she's hurt herself.
Probably,
and she has fibromyalgia.
Oh.
And she is a lot younger than Madonna, who is back on tour. Madonna's 61. She had to cancel her recent tour because she said she's racked with pain at a relatively young age. Now, these are, these really attractive, sexy stars.
Yeah.
And yet they are, at a relatively young age, prey to severe pain syndromes.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to fibromyalgia, interesting fact. They've done a study where they have looked at the microbiome of patients with fibromyalgia and control patients without body-wide pain.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this using artificial intelligence and machine learning. They just input the microbiome and the symptom scores. And they tried to see if there was a correlation.
Yeah.
And what they is... You could have somebody come into your office and say, don't say anything. Just give me a poop sample and I'll tell you whether you're in pain.
Don't say anything. Just grunt.
Just go. Here. Take this cup. Go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We'll run this through the computer and we can predict with 89% accuracy whether you suffer from body-wide pain syndrome.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Based on your poop. And you didn't utter a word.
Leave your stool sample here. We will contact you with information.
Pretty good
full
stuff.
Report.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that really, okay. So, we tend to think of these helpful substances that we take in that are anti-inflammatory as going right to the joints, like lubricating the joints.
The fish oil is going straight to the joints, and the curcumin and the...
That it has antioxidant properties and it reduces inflammation. Well, actually, those foods may modify the microbiome. Mm-hmm. We know that's some of the benefits of coffee and cocoa. Mm. They work on their prebiotics for beneficial bacteria in the intestinal tract.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. So anyway, so a lot of natural, you know, what are some of the natural pain relievers we like? I have a list here that I prepared for the lecture. We've got omega-3 fatty acids, of course. We have GLA, which also seems to work, although it's an omega-6. Mm,
But it's a beneficial omega-6.
High-dose B vitamins for neuropathy, like B12.
Yes.
Vitamin C may have some, there's some studies on vitamin C and pain sensitivity. Mm. Vitamin D also, certainly for autoimmune
Low vitamin D is associated with pain syndromes.
Rheumatologists are giving
To know Lady Gaga's vitamin D level, for example.
I'm hoping that she's has gone to some really good doctors and pretty sure they're checking that out.
Yeah.
Because she can afford it. And plus, you know, those doctors who are treating the stars, hopefully, are savvy to this kind of stuff. Curcumin, obviously.
Yes.
And we like a...
Boswellian.
We like the curcumin. See, curcumin bioavailability is a problem. So we like the curcumin that's in a form that is nanosphere encapsulated.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. Ginger is a good one.
Ginger is great for immunity, too, for motion sickness. But Boswellian?
Boswellian, yes. Yeah. And then, of course, CBD.
Yeah.
CBD is really anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. Actually, hemp oil has other factors which are anti-inflammatory besides. Mm. The other thing we like these days is SPMs.
Yeah.
Specific pro-resolvin mediators.
Right.
Which are sort of further down.
They're derived from
fish oil.
From fish oil.
But they now have products which are...
Right. But they're extra special, if we may say.
We like magnesium because magnesium has a mild relaxing and sedating effect. It also is helpful with muscle spasms.
Yes, and cramps. So if you're suffering from cramps that won't quit or muscle spasms that won't quit, you may be low in magnesium.
But different strokes for different types of pain. So for example, diabetic neuropathy might respond to alpha lipoic acid.
Yes.
And acetyl carnitine. Mm-hmm. ALC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are some of the strategies we might use for pain. Mm-hmm. You know, non-physical strategies. Then there's acupuncture, there's manipulation, there's like...
There's chiropractic.
Chiropractic, you know, all these things that are, you know, integrative methods
massage.
Of dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff.
You know, that's just like a brief encapsulation. People said, will this lecture be recorded? Well, I just gave you a little bit of a summary of what we talked about.
Terrific.
Shall we get to questions?
Yes. We have an email from Ricky. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I currently take 1 teaspoon of fish oil, EPA 800 milligram, DHA about 500 milligrams.
That's not that much.
That's not that much. Right. I take that every day. My doctor recently advised me to quit taking fish oil. He cited a study that concluded that taking most fish oils, in his words, is like, quote, like putting a lot of bacon grease in your arteries, end quote.
Right.
Can you please advise? Should I quit taking my fish oil on a daily basis, or do you recommend a brand that I should take?
Do you have a clue as to what study he's talking about? Because you told me about going to a lecture where somebody...
I went to a lecture recently at NYU where Dr. Dennis Goodman, an integrative cardiologist...
Yeah, one of my good colleagues.
I hadn't met before then. I was very impressed with his talk. There was also another doctor, known physician. I don't remember his name, but he was apparently on board with one of the pharmaceuticals that is touting a particular prescription brand fish oil and comparing it to supplemental fish oil, saying the supplemental is not standardized.
So that's their line. There's a desire to maintain a competitive edge against all these fish oils that proliferate in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. They feel that theirs is pure, pharmaceutical grade, blah, 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 and you don't know what you're going to get with fish oil.
You don't know what you're getting.
I mean, I presume he realizes...
You could be getting bacon grease.
I presume he realizes that bacon grease is the antithesis of fish oil because bacon grease is, you know, a saturated fat and fish oil is a polyunsaturated fat. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he knows that much about chemistry. So I'm pretty sure there's not a lot of bacon grease adulteration of fish oil in right. the supplement marketplace. I know that the major reputable brands and even some of the brands that are cut rate brands, it's pretty much fish oil. I think the issue yeah. with fish oil is, you know, how potent it is because yeah. some, for example, what this guy's taking, he's taking a teaspoon that's, what, 4 or 5 grams. Mm-hmm. He's only getting about 1,300 of fish
yes,
oil.
Yes, 1,300.
I mean, of EPA, of the active ingredients.
Yeah, 800
You can actually take a, here, I have an example here. I have a Protocol for Life sample that's sitting mm-hmm. on my desk. It's DHA 1,000. Now, how much DHA was in the teaspoon that he took?
500 milligrams.
So this is 1,000, twice that.
Yeah.
And it's in one capsule. So this is very concentrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there are now, the supplement industry is really developing ways of concentrating and refining fish oil. Plus, they do quality control. They do yeah. check for levels of PCBs and harmful adulterants and mercury and mm-hmm. that you can get from fish. Mm-hmm. And so if I buy from a reputable manufacturer, I'm not going to get bacon grease, but that's a little hyperbole. What about other contaminants or, you know, things like that?
Right.
I presume that this guy, I don't know where this doctor is coming from. Is this doctor saying that any kind of omega-3 is like bad fat, and does this doctor want someone to eschew any kinds of fats and oils? Because there are
no, just fish oil.
They're sort of vegan
fish oil supplement.
they're these vegan doctors,
yeah.
who also say don't use fish oil because they're, you know, humanitarians. They don't want to kill animals. They feel that you know, they're for an ultra low fat diet. They yeah. don't want any fats. So I can't read the mind of the doctor who says
right.
it's on, but I think he's trying to. This is a familiar technique. It's called poisoning the well
yes.
as a rhetorical technique. It's like making you think that what you're taking that's good for you is really harmful or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, what's so bad about bacon grease?
Nothing. Well, did you know that lard
yeah.
itself
yeah.
is about 49% monounsaturated fat? Hello, monounsaturated fat like olive oil?
And lard from pasture-raised pigs
yes.
who spend time in the sun has a fairly high content of vitamin D.
Mm.
Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bad example.
It's a terrible example.
Do you eat bacon?
Yeah, I do, and I save the grease to cook other things in.
You know,
I save it.
We didn't rehearse this, but I use certain foods
yeah.
Respond well to bacon grease mm-hmm. as a you know, pan lubricant.
Yeah,
and I use that horror of horrors.
Right,
I'm a medical
right.
nutritionist.
But yeah, we get some natural yard from flying pigs.
I mean, I've been doing this for
stuff.
Years, yep. and I have zero plaque. Okay,
yeah.
Hello.
There you go.
But, you know, that's in the context of an otherwise healthy diet. I think if you
yeah.
have tons and tons of bacon and you're having a lot of processed food.
I mean, if you're having bacon on your French fries,
right.
you might have a problem. It's not about the bacon.
Yep. Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think eating bacon in some studies has proven harmful because it's a signature of people who are maybe on an indiscriminate diet.
Yeah.
You know, they're having the bacon
they're
with
having
the pancakes
bacon cheeseburgers
and
with French fries and a soda and a or a beer and a
yeah.
cigar.
And maybe they're less prone to do yoga or
exactly.
you know,
or
less
go to the gym at all.
Yeah.
They watch the sports.
Right.
They don't do the sports. They watch football, maybe. You know, it's that. Oh my gosh, we're coming upon Super Bowl season, aren't we?
Soon. Right.
Yeah. Interesting. So, Ricky, take your fish oil, but it's possible you're not taking enough.
Apropos of football.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with Rob Gronkowski. Do you follow football at all? Do you know?
No.
Okay, Rob Gronkowski is this monster big guy
uh-huh.
who he's like 6'6", and he was unstoppable as a receiver
mm-hmm.
for Tom Brady. And he was a tight end
mm-hmm.
who was a blocking tight end. He could block like nobody else, but also he could go out for passes, and you couldn't stop him. I mean, once he caught a pass, you couldn't bring him down.
Wow.
But they showed, this is I think on 60 Minutes or on the CBS Morning Show, they did an interview with him in a profile. He quit football at 30 in the midst of a very promising career. He figured prominently in the Super Bowl, which the Patriots just won, because he said, I just wasn't feeling myself. He said, after 20 concussions, he said it was time to stop in the middle of a very lucrative career.
That was very wise, yeah. May I say.
So as they were interviewing him, I noticed he's wearing like a T-shirt with like, you know, the marijuana leaf on it. Uh-huh. And it's for a CBD company. And because, you know, he's aware of the problems with chronic post-concussion syndrome. Yeah. And CBD is very helpful. I just interviewed Dr. Michael Lewis, mm-hmm. who is a consultant for CB Sciences, which is our PlusCBDOil.com company, mm-hmm. yes. one of our sponsors. And he's done a lot of research on with athletes and soldiers. He's actually a graduate of West Point. He's a military colonel, mm-hmm. Medical officer. He is a big proponent of fish oil for protecting the brain, but now has added CBD to the brain protective protocol for concussions and head injuries.
Terrific.
So, terrific. This apropos, of, we're talking about football.
Yeah. But, I think that's very wise on his part, having had so many concussions at such a tender young age, really.
It's like, why sacrifice your brain?
Exactly.
It's one thing to blow out your knees, your shoulders,
but your brain.
Your brain, it's you can fix, you can get a knee replacement surgery.
Yeah,
but
you can't get a brain replacement.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Oh gosh. All right. We have an email from Hannah. I'm currently taking Xarelto and Bistolic for a recent stroke and heart attack.
Okay,
wow.
So one, Bistolic is a beta
blood
blocker,
mm-hmm.
and blood pressure medication, and
Xarelto is a blood thinner.
It's an alternative to Coumadin.
Yeah. She says, I cannot find a blood pressure medication that I don't have side effects to.
That's why it really behooves us to try and prevent high blood pressure. But once you've got a stroke, they really want to control your blood pressure.
Sure. She's wondering if she can safely take olive leaf extract these medications.
It should generally be well tolerated. It's a little bit of a blood thinner, but I don't think it's going to cause major. I mean, look, what you do is you're taking the Xarelto, you notice, are you bruising? Are you having nosebleeds? When you sneeze, do you look up in the mirror and your eyes all bloodshot? You know, that would be a sign that your blood is too thinned. It's not such a potent blood thinner that you're going to hemorrhage.
Right.
I don't think there's really been.
Right. Yeah. It may help with blood pressure well.
At the very least, olive oil, it's rich in the polyphenols that protect the blood vessels. That'd be very good.
Yeah. Okay. Then we hope you are on the mend.
Yeah.
All right. We have an email from Edward. He actually wrote us twice. Let's see here. Oh, no. I just have it twice is what I have.
Okay.
Edward is a 65-year-old male, and his total cholesterol is 247.
Yeah.
His HDL is 48. His LDL
is... Not a good ratio.
No.
That's about 5 to 1 ratio, which we want the ratio less than 3 to 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my cholesterol is 230, but my HDL is 70. So it's about a 3 to 1 ratio, which is a little bit more favorable.
Yeah. So LDL of 199 and triglycerides at 111.
That's a little higher than you'd like to see. I mean, they say your triglycerides should be less than 150. I like triglycerides less than 70.
Yes, I would agree. Generally,
which
we
indicates
say less
a
than 100,
diet.
But less than 80.
You go on a low-carb diet, your triglycerides will go down.
It will go down. They will actually fall off a cliff.
Trick question. How do you reduce your blood fats? Not by reducing fat.
Nutrition is not as simple as plumbing. The fat you eat does not mean fat or cholesterol in your body. The carbohydrates will make you make more triglycerides, will cause your liver to churn out more triglycerides. Now, Edward...
Yes, the body is not a receptacle. The body is an alchemist.
Yes.
It transforms...
May I use that? That's gross. Great.
It transfer,
not
trans,
a receptacle, but
I just
an
made
alchemist.
This up. It changes dross to gold.
Dross
you know,
to
that's
gold.
The old... Uh-huh. Alchemy, as they would, they worked on, like, how do we make gold out of, like, straw, Rumpelstiltskin, spinning gold out of straw,
Oh, my. Well, Edward wants to take citrus bergamot.
Good.
And he's wondering how much. Edward, may we suggest that you change your diet too?
Yes.
Because you want to eat a lower carb
diet.
Bergamot
will lower the cholesterol, but I would give it, say, about a 10, maybe 20% effect.
Yeah.
It's comparable to statins sometimes in its ability to lower cholesterol, depends on the person.
Which is really interesting.
And it also has intrinsic protective effects on the blood vessels anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had some Earl Grey tea, and the aroma of the Earl Grey tea.
I love Earl Grey.
That was bergamot.
That is bergamot.
Yeah.
That is bergamot.
So Earl Grey tea has cardiovascular benefits.
Yeah. Ed is wondering if there are any long-term harmful side effects. I've not read anything about bergamot in terms of long-term side effects.
No.
And, you know, I could drink cups of Earl Grey tea all day long. I don't.
Yeah.
But I could sometimes.
Yeah.
I love the taste
that aroma.
Of that tea. And English breakfast are probably my top favorite teas in the world.
Okay.
Honestly, they're so good. But no, take the bergamot, change
Absolutely.
Your diet.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be the way to go for that. For
and to lower the triglycerides, take a lot of fish oil. You know, 4 to 6 capsules a day will also lower your triglycerides. But it's the diet really is the best way.
It is. It is.
Okay. We are going to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Layla, give us a preview of what we'll tackle in part two.
What do you think of exosome therapy instead of stem cell therapy?
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. That's a brainiac question. We'll tackle that in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Layla Mudin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And we'll be right back with more.